It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, January 19th. I'm Patricia Naft. Three missing snowmobilers in Garfield County have been found safe. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
On Sunday, the Garfield County Sheriff's Office received a call after three men didn't return home from a daytime snowmobile trip. Walt Stowe with the Sheriff's Office says rescue workers searched for the men in the Flat Tops area north of Newcastle.
On Sunday evening, the men headed up in snow machines and were searching the area around where the men had last been seen on the Flat Tops. They worked until about 2:30 Monday morning, but were unable to locate them.
Crews resumed the search after it was light out.
They were found and spotted by a helicopter around 11:15 Monday morning, and we dropped a search and rescue person into them. They were all in good shape. They were vertical, standing up, and had a fire built.
Stowe says the men ran into mechanical trouble.
What had happened is two of the three machines had broken down, and the men opted to spend the evening there rather than try to come out in the dark.
He says two of the men were airlifted to safety, and the other followed emergency responders out on the working snowmobile. Stowe says this case is a good reminder to be prepared when you go into the backcountry. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
One of the biggest online retailers just announced a big change for Colorado. Amazon.com will start charging sales tax for purchases shipped to Colorado. Starting February 1st, 2.9% will be charged. No new laws were enacted by the state, and the Denver Post reports that Amazon did not give the reason for the change in policy. Colorado will be joining the 20 other states that charge sales tax for online purchases. Colorado Parks and Wildlife will be hosting a wintry event this Saturday at Crawford State Park. One of the main parts is an ice fishing clinic. This is Joe Lewandowski with CPW.
You'll learn all about gear and what to look for and techniques for catching fish through the ice. There's a lot of crappie in the lake. They're really good eating. And Crawford is really renowned for its ice fishing because it gets pretty cold up there during the winter usually. Last winter wasn't so great. We actually had to cancel this event because it was warm. But it's good and cold. We've got really good ice this year, good snow cover. So there's something there for everybody.
After the morning clinic, a skating rink will be available, as well as a cross-country ski track and a sledding hill. An oil field is a dangerous place to work, but until recently, scientists didn't know inhaling crude oil fumes was one of the hazards. Inside Energy's Emily Guerin reports.
Since 2010, nine workers have died this way. Initially, it wasn't clear what was killing them. Then, researchers began to suspect crude oil vapors were to blame. Last week, the Centers for Disease Control released its most thorough accounting yet of this emerging occupational hazard. No one has died from crude oil vapors since 2014, and lead author Bob Harrison hopes that trend continues.
I never want to hear about another worker dead on top of an oil and gas tank.
The majority of the workers died on well sites in North Dakota and Colorado. For Inside Energy, I'm Emily Guerin.
Colorado lawmakers are back at the state capitol for the annual legislative session. As part of our Capitol Conversation series, Benta Berklin discusses priorities from the governor and legislative leaders.
Joining us, we have Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal and Joey Bunch, a reporter with the Denver Post. Ed, what stood out to you so far in these first few days?
I think the contrast in tones from the opening day speeches in the House, especially, to Governor Hickenlooper's State of the State address was most interesting. You had House Speaker Dickey Lee Hollinghorse begin the session by rolling out a whole list of policies that she wants to see passed, pulling no punches on why she thinks they're right and the opponents are wrong, and getting bad reaction from Republicans on it. And that was followed by House Minority Leader Brian Del Grosso rolling out a smaller list of policies and getting the same bad reaction from the House Democrats. And then Hickenlooper swoops in at the State of the State address and basically says, could you please work together? I mean, it was an almost pleading speech. Yeah, we could talk about him asking for construction defects reform or enterprising the hospital provider fee, but the general theme was, please, folks, let's try to get something done. It almost felt like a reaction to the first day.
How likely is that, Joey, in a presidential election year? As Ed pointed out, we have very different policy perspectives from leaders in both parties.
Well, it's interesting because in most years, legislators start out talking about, we're going to try to work together this year. But because it's an election year and a presidential election year in a swing state, I think there's a lot of campaign writing going on. So I think it'll be interesting. You know, the big bills, the hospital provider fee, the transportation bonds, I think they're dead on arrival. It'll just be interesting to see what does come out of this session on those issues and whether we're going to play brinksmanship for the next 4 months.
And I think a lot of times in a session, there is a big policy issue that gets bipartisan support. Last year was on school testing reform and trying to reduce the number of tests school children take. Not everyone was on board with it, but they passed something that both parties were okay with. Are we going to see that this year with something that both parties say they want to do, put more money into roads, reduce education cuts?
I think the road issue is going to be a tough one to find bipartisan agreement on, simply because you're starting out at such different places. The Democrats want to enterprise the hospital provider fee. The Republicans say that's unconstitutional. The Republicans want to pass bonds. The Democrats say that's unsustainable. There is going to be a search for bipartisan agreement on affordable housing. And again, the Republicans and some Democrats are going to come at it saying the key to this is making it harder for people to sue over construction defects in condominiums. There are still a number of Democrats, specifically House Speaker Dickie Lee Hollinghorst, who don't like that idea. But I think there is such a pull right now that if you could see a compromise going through, Republicans saying, okay, we're going to back more public funding for rental and for housing assistance, an idea that has not always been one that goes over well with them, and maybe you can think about passing some sort of construction defects reform, I think that's your best chance for a big policy area where there can be a bipartisan compromise.
And it may help that the governor also called for that bill to pass during his State of the State speech.
The governor called for compromise in his State of the State, but the agenda was his agenda. So both sides say that they want to work together on the same issues, but they have just very different paths on where we go on those solutions. I think they do so at their own peril, because Coloradans want something to happen on transportation. They want something to happen on education. And if both sides just, you know, go to their respective corners and don't even try to meet midway, I think voters can see that. That's what's going on in Washington that people are tired of, and unfortunately it goes on at the state level as well.
That was Joey Bunch with the Denver Post and Ed Sealever with the Denver Business Journal. Thanks for being here.
Thanks,
Benta.
I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and this is Capital Conversation.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix.